This is a show about whistleblowers and whistleblowing. And I say with some frequency, I hope you're not too tired of hearing it, that whistleblowing is the act of bringing to light any evidence of waste, fraud, abuse, illegality, or threats to the public health or public safety. That sounds simple, but it's actually not. For example, should motivation be considered? What if the revelation is made as part of a plan to ruin someone politically? Should investigative journalists be considered whistleblowers? There really aren't any easy answers to these questions, but we're going to try to get to the bottom of things. I'm John Kiriakou. Welcome to The Whistleblowers. It's only because of whistleblowers that we know about warrantless wiretapping of American citizens, about the CIA's torture program, about its archipelago of secret prisons. It's only because of whistleblowers that we know about Swiss banks violating international banking laws, or tobacco companies working secretly to get children addicted to cigarettes, or about the dangers of lead pipes used in municipal water systems. It's not unusual for governments or even for the mainstream media to try to ruin the whistleblower rather than to attack the problem that the whistleblower has revealed. Think as examples about the response to the initial revelations about the Hunter Biden laptop, or about evidence that the American Internal Revenue Service was targeting for tax investigations conservative groups and individuals who had criticized the government. We are very happy to be joined by Lionel. Lionel is a media analyst, a substantive expert, and a controversialist. Welcome to the show. We're very glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Oh, believe me, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. The honor is all mine. And Lionel,
must be a slow week.
There are two major issues that I wanted to speak with you about. We can have some fun with them, of course, but at the end of the day,
these
are actually pretty serious issues. They are the Hunter Biden laptop and the IRS. And I want to start with the Hunter Biden laptop. I received a printed copy of the laptop from Garrett Ziegler, who now runs a nonprofit organization, but who used to work in the Trump White House. He printed and published literally every page from the laptop. This is more than 700 pages in all. And honestly, most of it is just bad porn. Hundreds and hundreds of pictures of Hunter Biden naked, and usually naked with prostitutes. There are hundreds of pictures of him doing drugs, and there are hundreds of emails and text messages, mostly with prostitutes. So, first is the easy question. Is the publication of the contents of the laptop whistleblowing? Why or why not?
This is, by the way, this is a great subject, and I love this, because I'm a lawyer by profession, and I tend to nitpick and parse and break everything down into ridiculous, I guess you would call it an atomization. First, the story is that he left his laptop initially. He abandoned it.
Yes.
Everybody knows that if you leave, you know, dry cleaning someplace, or you leave your car, it's something that's called almost like it's called a bailment in law. And after a period of time, you surrender any kind of title to it by virtue of the fact that you've abandoned it. Okay, John, here's the question. What did he abandon? Did he abandon the laptop? Or did he abandon the information?
Uh-huh.
Let's say, for example, you leave your wallet. And I say, hey, I found a wallet. It was some money in it. And I do everything in my power. I let everybody know. You got 30 days to claim it. Okay, great. I've got it now. Mm-hmm. But then I go online and I say, here's John Kiriakou. This is where he lives. This is his driver's license number. This is his height. Ooh, and here's this and this. Now, wait a minute. Can I claim that information? Can I say, well, he left his wallet? Yes, but what's in that?
I got it.
Is it the information? Is it the wallet?
Right.
By the way, in Delaware, there is a concomitant case going on right now. I think it was a counterclaim that he is suing for violation or breaching his privacy. And I think he's spot on. So while I know it's not a favorite pastime in this country to be defending Hunter Biden, I think he's got a point here, because I'm not necessarily sure what it was that should be disseminated. Now, Could I also go back to something that you said? What is a whistleblower? I hate that term. It's a euphemism. It sounds trite. It sounds silly. It sounds like you're, what about hero? You know, I'm sure you've heard of Quitom legislation.
Oh, yes.
Quitom is, I guess it's actually a longer term, but it means basically in the name of the king. And what it means is simply this. If you're at a, let's say, Department of Defense, and through the course of your work, you find out that the government has been wasting millions or billions of dollars, not only to encourage careful inspection on the part of conscientious citizens, but to compensate you, you'll get a portion of the money that you've saved, that you've exposed. And it's there are law firms all over the country devoted to Quitom.
Oh, yes.
It is essential. Did that sound good? Whistleblower. Everybody out of the pool. It's like, wait a minute. That's not what you're doing. Think about this. Every time anybody's ever done anything, whether it's Ellsberg, Assange, Snowden, name it, anybody who's an FBI agent who cracked the Dillinger case, you're kind of a whistleblower again. But the issue is that it seems sometimes to some people sniveling. I think it's a hero status. But the question is, and this is what most people are asking, is when does it become a problem? And I don't mean to keep talking, but let's take Julian Assange. Julian Assange, whether you like him or not, is a journalist.
That's right.
And there's a United States Supreme Court case, Bartnicki, that says specifically, if you come into contact, if you come into the possession of information that was stolen, that was purloined, that was garnered by trespassorial theft, and you're given it, you can publish it. Ellsberg stole this from what, the Rand Corporation? Did anybody go after the New York Times, Washington Post? No. But Assange is different. Snowden's different. Snowden worked for a company. Snowden basically said, I will not turn things over. I will not whistleblow. Now, can you do this? Can you work for a company that says, listen, whatever you do, don't let anybody know what we do, no matter how horrible it is? I don't know. The gray areas, John, are replete. The whole thing is gray. I like gray. I always say, make America gray again. There's no black and white. There's no apodictic. It's all, I'm not sure. And that's what we should be discussing.
Well, is motivation important here? When I first blew the whistle on the CIA's torture report, the first attorney I spoke to told me that motivation has nothing whatsoever to do with whether or not a person is a whistleblower. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. It does not matter, because what does that even mean? What does that mean? What if I expose the most important news ever, and I do it because I'm a crackpot? I hate the government because I'm a communist, because I'm a capitalist, because I'm a, who cares? If I could give you one case by analogy, one of the things I have with hate crimes, why I hate hate crimes, is that motivation of a crime is irrelevant. For example, if I come up and if I slap you or hit you or punch you, who cares why? It's, I intended to do this. So then if you take my motivation and you aggravate the crime because I dare to utter, because by the way, hate is protected, you're basically penalizing me for my thoughts. So motivation is irrelevant. I'm sorry to say that. It might be interesting later on in sentencing. It might affect, for example, a damages awarded. Maybe you're not as heroic, but information is information.
And what about this scenario? Let's say a guy finds a laptop in his repair shop and it has a lot of dirt on it, and he gives it to Rudy Giuliani, who then gives it to the right-wing press. And then they turn it over to members of Congress for investigation. Mm-hmm. And Congress has hearings, and people pound their chests and they make strong speeches. But then at the end of the day, no crimes are charged based on the information that was on the laptop. Certainly, there are other charges in the case of Hunter Biden. But there's nothing from this laptop. What should we make of that? Were there any whistleblowers in this whole scenario?
Great question. Here is the issue that nobody ever talks about. What do you do when nobody brings charges? What do you do when Merrick Garland doesn't do anything about this? Mm-hmm. What do you do when they say, I'm not talking about some guy with a hooker and a, you know, and a crack pipe or something. I'm not sure if that's a crime, but in cases, I think, where the case could be made that perhaps maybe there were violations of FARA or maybe whatever. What do you do, John, when the government says we're not interested?
Right.
Good luck. They always talk about, the Constitution always talks about the First Amendment, you know, due process, you know, search and seizure. Well, that's when you get you. There's no such thing as to be protected from the government who doesn't investigate. Right. I mean, if you pick up the phone and say, hello, officer, DC police, yeah, listen, they're breaking it. Hello, hello. And they keep hanging up on you. We don't know what that's called. But you brought something up, though. This is the bottom line. And this is not a legal answer. This is a reality answer. What if I called up and said, I went before court and I said, I have right now a laptop of somebody you would know who's involved in, he's wearing a garter belt and a whip and a cat of nine tails and he's doing drugs and he's into fraudage and a variety, things you can't even imagine.
Right.
Yes. Do you want to know who it is? Yes. You have to promise me first. What will you do about this? Uh-huh. I'll tell you who it is, because they're telling you if it's Joe Biden or if it's somebody that we like, we don't want to hear about this. But if it's somebody that we don't get, if it's Trump, we're in on this. Let me give you an example. This drives me nuts. There are people right now, and I don't want to go into the right or wrong of this, but certain things that are being said on college campuses, mm-hmm, that might involve anti-Semitism. Okay, fine. And I'm telling you, you hear college presidents say, this is where we speak, and the commerce and the marketplace of free ideas. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. Did I say anti-Semitism? No, I meant racism. See, they said this. Oh, that's different. And that's the part that I hate. That's different.
Right.
Because we believe in the 14th Amendment under this notion of equal protection, where we treat people fairly. This is our thing, John, where we say, We have this kind of like this sterile way of looking at it. A crime is a crime is a crime. A victim is a victim. Doesn't matter who's the president, who's not. You know, whistleblowing in particular, the notion of this, again, it's that name. I don't know why they call it that. It sounds quaint. It sounds, aw.
It does.
He's blowing a whistle. Everybody out of the
it
pool.
It does. It does. Right. Lionel, forgive me. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back in just a minute. When we come back, we're going to take a shot at the IRS. Actually, let me correct myself. We will examine with an even hand the IRS and whistleblowing at the IRS. So stay tuned. Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We are speaking with media critic, analyst, and all-around well-informed guy, Lionel, about whistleblowing related to the Hunter Biden laptop and the Internal Revenue Service. Lionel, thanks again for being with us. Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Lionel, I blew the whistle on the CIA's torture program back in December of 2007, and then, much to my surprise, or not, the IRS began auditing me. I had to hire an accountant, and I had to hire a tax attorney, and as if that wasn't difficult enough for me to defend myself, I was audited again in 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. It was an absolutely horrible and expensive experience. But this was all just a coincidence, of course, right? No
right.
person in a position of power would actually use a governmental entity like the IRS against a citizen because of whistleblowing or the revelation of protected speech, right? We don't do that.
Well, you know what's funny? It's amazing how the two just happen to coincide. It's interesting that at the time that you made this, wait a minute, hold it. Just a second. We have to make sure that our key witness is really up to snuff.
That's right.
That's why we're going to do this colonoscopy, which basically is what this is. But let me give you an analogy. in the world of sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. Before or at the time of the HR department, when we used to have employee member personnel, now it's HR, there's this rule that everybody says that, wait a minute, now listen, she, he filed a complaint. Make sure you show nothing that looks or appears to be retaliatory. And they know this. Don't fire them. Don't give them more work, less work. We don't want to be retaliatory. Makes sense, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Except sure. for you.
Right.
It applies to an office. If it applies to an insurance
right.
Agency in Muncie, Indiana, it doesn't apply to you. Now, go ahead and try to explain that one. Go ahead and try to say, hey, listen, folks, this is what's going to happen to you if you do this. By the way, you know, when you have these whistleblowing statutes and qui tam legislation, they don't tell you, are you sure you want to do this?
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right about that. Yes.
And it also depends on whose ox is being gored and the like. And then you get into this. Now, let me be devil's advocate. What happens if you do something, John, not in your case, but somebody says, I am aware of something that the government is doing, but they say, wait a minute, if you were to reveal this right now, this could compromise an ongoing investigation. Doesn't everything compromise a potential ongoing investigation?
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Doesn't everything make the country look bad? Mm-hmm. Doesn't that thing work? You know, I got to tell you this, and I'm sure you know this, my friend. People don't know that when you say the government, you drive into Washington. Look, honey, there's a Washington Monument. Oh, my God, the government. Mr. Smith, behind that government is some bureaucrat.
That's
right. And behind that building are agencies you've never heard of. And they don't care about you mm-hmm. and your vision of the government or whatever it is. But people don't understand what this is. We're mm-hmm. talking about people here doing things that unless you find yourself in the position. And by the way, if you are not. I, as a lawyer, have been involved in people who have been theoretically involved in organizations of, dare I say, a Sicilian-American background,
right.
where they have reputed to be. Now, you can do anything to them, and it makes front page. Vinny Bananas, whatever. They love that. However, the government looks the other way when it comes to other mobs, Chinese triads, other particular situations.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Motorcycle clubs. Do you know, isn't this something how MS-13 is still going around?
Yeah.
The mafia is still here. The government never shut them down once. And one of the, we can go into that. But the thing is that the government thinks that, or the people think that the government's fair. That it's even, that it's pari passu, that it's equally apportioned. We go after crimes, irrespective of who you are. And listen, there's the IRS, but if somebody told me, listen, don't use the IRS, that's okay. I'll go after regulatory agencies. I will do, and I can shut you down and ruin your life mm-hmm. using a host of things that aren't the IRS. But if you're in a business, you're being regulated. You have some agency looking out for you, and I can make your life a living hell. How do you prove retaliatory actions on the part of the government? And
right.
But they're just doing their job.
Right, right. That's what they want us to believe. And actually, that leads to my next question. I wanted to get your thoughts on what we're learning from a handful of IRS whistleblowers. Not only is the IRS used as a weapon against people, it's used specifically, at least recently, against conservatives or conservative activists. Three different whistleblowers now have come out and have said that they were working on the Hunter Biden case using information from the Hunter Biden laptop, and they were pushed off the investigation and dismissed by the mainstream media. Why do you think they weren't taken seriously?
Because the mainstream media are parasites locked in to this group of folks. They're proxies for what you would call the shadow government, whatever. I mean, I can go on and on that very quickly, John. Remember years ago when they had the steroid abuse cases? Remember these guys who came in and said,
right.
whatever happened to them?
Right.
What about the tobacco execs who came in and they asked him under oath, do you think nicotine is addictive? No. Whatever happened to them? Whatever happens to any of these people? They just go away. We just forget about them because we have amnesia.
Yes.
That's the biggest problem.
Yes. Exactly right. Here in the United States, we like to think that we have the best of everything. We have the best whistleblower protection laws, right? But that's just simply not true. So what do you think we need to do to better protect whistleblowers? Why are whistleblowers still fighting this fight, even after so many years? And I might add, after passage of something ironically called the Whistleblower Protection Act.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we got to get rid of this stupid name. We got to get rid of this dumb name, you know, the whistleblower. I don't even know what that means. But we have to re-educate people and understand something. Let me just say something very quickly. Do you know that there is no, in most jurisdictions, there is no duty for a citizen to pick up the phone and call the police and say somebody's breaking into their neighbor's house or that there's a fire? That's called misprision, where under federal law, if you didn't charge something, you can actually, in some cases, be held accountable. This shocks people. You mean to tell me if some grandmother's being beaten within an inch of her life, I don't have to call anybody. I don't have to do anything. Misprision should be the law of the land. You should be not just a teacher who is a reporter who fails to account for abuse, but isn't it incumbent upon all of us to say, if you see something, if you as a citizen sworn by, and by the way, John, you swore to the Constitution, not to the government,
yes,
not
I
to
did.
An administration.
That's
you
right.
swore to the, and I as a lawyer swear to the Constitution, to follow the laws. Mm-hmm. That's my fealty. That's my allegiance. We have to re-educate these people. You're not a whistleblower. You're a policeman. We're in charge of this. You know, we're kind of like a militia. We were here first before we gave people badges and assignments. We can't abnegate our responsibility. And we have to start with educating these people that a whistleblower is a hero. Julian Assange is a hero. Snowden's a hero. You're a hero. The people, Ellsberg, when Ellsberg died, my God, it was an apotheosis of the greatest thing. Did he do? Basically, what he said was everybody already knew. Could have been a limited hangout. I don't want to destroy history. But listen, what about Woodward and Bernstein? Uh-huh. What are they? No, those are reporters. They're whistleblowers. Well, no, it's the same thing. Get rid of this stupid name. We love those people. I mean, isn't this what Joe Pistone, who was Donnie Brasco?
Donnie Brasco.
Was he? He was undercover. No, he was the whistleblower. No, he's undercover, CIA. The whistleblower who came out of the dark. You know, Le Carre doesn't write about a whistleblower. Nobody's going to write the name. But John, it is called pure guts to do what you're doing. And you... I'm sure every whistleblower has spent the night, many nights, saying, what the hell was I thinking?
I
had to do was keep my mouth shut. Nobody cares. They don't even like me. I ruined everything for my country, and they won't even pay my legal bills, nothing. I'm a pariah. So let the word go out. Whistleblower, a.k.a. schmuck, because if you do it, you're going to rue the day you did because nobody's going to back you up. It's like going against the mob. It's like being a confidential informant. It's like being a rat.
Oh, yes.
And I'm not in any way making that connection, but that's exactly what this is about.
You are exactly right. And actually, it would take us another hour just to talk about that. But
I got time.
I've lain in bed for many, many nights wondering, what in the world did I do? So we'll leave it there. The incomparable Lionel, I want to thank you for joining us today and for sharing your insights. And thanks to our viewers for taking the time to be with us. Motivational speaker and author Tony Gaskins once said, "Success comes to those who trust the process, stay committed, and never give up." Well, that's true in part, but in part it's false. It's often the process that's the problem. Yes, stay committed. Yes, never give up. But sometimes what you're not giving up is fighting the process. Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou, and we look forward to seeing you next time.